The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Jamie Lynch to look ahead to the best of the action from Glorious Goodwood on Thursday. We've got four races that we're going to look at and hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Alex. In the middle of Goodwood. We need to talk about the first day a little bit, though.
Yes. Interesting, wasn't it? I mean, we saw yesterday... It's fair to say a few surprises. Certainly, bookmakers will be pretty pleased. The two main races. We'll start with the Malcolm, of course. That one went to Cottai Glory, Charles Hill's train, George Baker Road. Made all and did it reasonably well. Beacon was the short price favourite for the race, and I don't know about you. I just thought it's more of a 6 furlong horse. I think we thought that before the race. We thought that Beacon's class may just be enough, but as it happened, just was always niggled, wasn't he, by Hughes?
Yeah, Beacon was the first of a series of disappointments, actually, for Hannon and Hughes. We associate Hannon and Hughes with mopping up at Goodwood, and Beacon, given the price he was and given his profile coming into the Morecambe, he was expected to provide the Hannon Hughes combination with yet another win. It didn't work out that way, and that was partly because Cottai Glory was so sharp, so up to speed and so dominant through the race. And Beacon, you get the impression he didn't really show his true colours yesterday. As you said, he found the sharp funnel of speed just a bit too much for him. He was also hampered very briefly at a crucial stage, though, and a race is like Goodwood, especially on that 5 furlong course. There's no margin for error whatsoever. And when he was hampered marginally, that was enough to make it game over for Beacon. But Cottai Glory, he's an admirable horse. He's going the right way gradually. He's got bundles of speed, as he showed. And what it does do, what it really does do, is give a big tick to Limato, the horse who beat him last time out at Newbury. An unbeaten horse of Henry Candy's. Look out for him. He's probably going to end up at the York Ebor meeting in the Gimcrack.
Yeah, absolutely. So disappointment there for Hannah and Hughes, and then arguably an even bigger one.
Yeah.
Just 35 minutes later, Tormore was really well fancied for the Lennox Stakes. Three non-runners meant the price contracted. 5-6, Tormore went off, and although ran okay, the horse didn't do a great deal wrong, I suppose. But SK Love, a horse that, well, I certainly didn't think could win it, but travelled really well. Quickened nicely, and on the basis of that race, deserved to win.
Yeah, we were expecting fireworks from Tormore, and I think, judging by his comments in the build-up to Goodwood, Richard Hughes was expecting fireworks from Tormore as well. It was a bit underwhelming, that's what it was. Mm. He was in pole position as the race went, he was perfectly poised. It looked, for two-thirds of the race, as if everything was going smoothly, but when Richard Hughes pressed the button, there wasn't that response from Tormore that marked certainly his two-year-old performances and his Craven win. It's easy to excuse him banging heads with Kingman and co. In both the Guineas at Newmarket and at Royal Ascot, but this was considered to be a much easier opportunity for Tormore. He fluffed his lines. SK Love was the one to capitalise, and what SK Love's win did prove and confirm was that Goodwood is all about speed. This is a horse who'd raced only a 5 and 6 furlongs so far this season. He was going up in trip, but speed counts for an awful lot of Goodwood, especially on the very fast ground. They broke the 2-year-old record, didn't they, in the Malcolm Alex? It just goes to show how fast the ground was and how important speed and positioning is at Goodwood always.
Absolutely. We've got Ken Pitterson, who's our paddock side judge, if you like. And I was talking to him this morning. He was saying that in the fallout from that race. Whispers that Tormo will be having a wind up.
Yeah.
Which would make sense. I mean, saw the tongue lolling out throughout the race, pretty much. Just seems like Tormo just needs something just to sort of kick-start him again.
Exactly. He's lacking that spark that he showed all of last season. Now, it's not as if the wind operation, if it does happen, is trying to find something new in the horse. It's actually just trying to get him back to what he was as a two-year-old. Don't forget that he was the champion two-year-old Tuamore, three runs unbeaten, including around Goodwood. Now, his career, his development has stalled for the moment, and it's all about getting him back on track, whether it's a tongue tie, whether it's a tongue operation in terms of a wind up, whether it's headgear. But you can bet and you can guarantee that Richard Hughes and Richard Hannon as a combo and the whole team down there will leave no stone unturned for trying to get Tuamore back, because we know his class, we know his quality, and right now he's just not living up to the hype that he built himself.
Absolutely. Okay, then we'll move on to Thursday's action then at Goodwood. We'll kick off with the 205. It's a handicap of almost a mile and 2 furlongs, a class 2 event. 15 runners don't go to post. In fact, made that 14 because Top Tug is already confirmed as an absentee. And the race revolves around one horse here, Roseburg, in good form, unexposed, going the right way for Luca Kamani, but has got one hell of a burden to carry here.
Yeah, he's got top weight in this handicap. Roseburg, you're right to say that he is the focal point of the whole race. We talk about the proverbial group horse in a handicap. Roseburg could easily be that, because he's won his last three. He's been very impressive with the way he's won his last three. Luca Kamani will have aimed him at this race, I would imagine, for an awful long time, long before his winning habit kicked in. I suspect he had this race as a target, because Luca Kamani, who had just a couple of near misses, didn't he, on the first day in handicaps, he knows what it takes to win these valuable races. And also look at the jockey booking, Alex. Richard Hughes riding for Luca Kamani when Richard Hannon has got another horse in the race, pupil number 3. That tells you two things. It tells you that Roseburg is expected by Kamani to win this race because he's gone to the trouble of booking Goodwood's finest. And also tells you something about pupil, doesn't he? The fact that Richard Hannon is willing to let Richard Hughes off pupil and let him ride Roseburg. This horse could be a class apart. He could easily be that. But as we know from Goodwood, it's a tricky track. You need luck. There will be trouble in running around, and he's going to be a short price favourite, you would imagine, Roseburg. And I think that there are several other horses in here, Alex, who could well have a bit in hand of their handicap mark themselves. So it's not all about Roseburg, even though he clearly is the one to beat.
Yeah, Top Tug is out, which is, I'd say Top Tug was probably the one that you'd imagine would give Roseburg the most to do. Certainly on ratings was the second in. But there isn't a standout contender to oppose Roseburg as such. There's not one that's shouting at you in the face. But,
wait.
Is there?
Wait. Hold the traffic. Stop the light.
Go on.
Let's beg to differ here.
Go on then.
Because in time form terms, obviously we specialise in ratings, Roseburg isn't even top rated.
Really?
Yeah. Now, shut your mouth, Alex, because you are left aghast. Have a look at this one. Now, listen to me. I'm going to try and convince you with this one. Number 7, Astronerius, Amanda Perrott. Now, there's several things in this horse's favour. Number 1 is the pedigree. He's by Sea the Stars. There are loads of group winners in his family. Number 2 is his profile. He's had just 3 runs, all in maidens. He comes to handicaps unexposed, and he comes to handicaps off of what we feel at time form is a lenient mark of 87. Now, there is some substance to this as well, because at Newmarket last time, he did it in a really good time. He beat a Godolphin Hot Pot in Razor Wind. He met trouble. He was further back than ideal, and he still came through to win. And then, when he was second, when he was in a work in progress and developing on just his second start of his career, that came at Goodwood, and he handled the track really, really well that day. So he's got Goodwood experience over Roseburg, and in fact over most in this field. So we've got an up-and-coming horse who's really well bred by Sea the Stars, who clocked a really good time at Newmarket, and who's got that bit of Goodwood experience. There's a lot to like about Astronerius in this particular race, and he's just a little less sexy than Roseburg, with the connections he represents, with the fact we've only seen him 3 times, but he could be really well handicapped coming in here.
Okay. I will take that back then. Astroneerious. So would that be a selection in this then?
Yeah, it would. Let's just mention a couple more because it's the sort of race where there are several who could pop up. Medeed has got a brutal draw in 14, but he's a horse who has been crying out to go up to a mile and a quarter. He finally gets that here. And he did really well in the Britannia. He was only seventh on the face of it, but he was second home over on that far side, again shaping as if a stamina test is what he needs. So he's a flyer in here. He's going to be a big price because his form figures aren't inspiring, but he's essentially dropping a little bit in grade here, and he wants that longer trip, so he's one. And then the other one, just to consider, is at the very bottom of the weight. This is sneaked in somehow. Rainbow Rock, a horse who Mark Johnston had a lot of time for. You could tell that from the way he campaigned him and the way this horse was backed out in his career, and then he was gelded and he went up in trip and he proved a revelation at Beverley. This race, Alex, is a world away from what he competed against at Beverley, but he's got the draw. He's certainly in the right zone right now, and look at who he's trained by. No other trainer you'd want to have a Goodwood apart from Mark Johnston. But selection, nailing colours to masts. Yes, Roseberg has got a really good chance. He's bound to be thereabouts, but time form top rated, the unexposed horse in the race, the one who's entered in the St. Ledger, could be anything. Astroneerious.
Okay, Astroneerious the pick then. In the 205, the next race that we'll look at is the 235. It's the Richmond Stakes, a Group 2 contest over 6 furlongs. 9 runners down to go to post in this one. And there's only one place to start once again here, with Ivorwood for Messrs. Hannon and Hughes. Very, very impressive at Newmarket. Beat Jungle Cat that day, who you'd imagine is one of the likely dangers once again, but going to be hard to see past this one, isn't it?
It's virtually impossible to see this past this one, Alex, isn't it? Because Ivorwood, it's the impression he's made in winning both those starts. He blitzed the field in that July Stakes, and the point that you touched upon is the most pertinent and relevant point with the whole race. He beat Jungle Cat that day, and Jungle Cat is the best of the opposition against him here. So it's a simple case of if Ivorwood does a Goodwood, what he did at Newmarket, then the race is all over. And there's no real reason to think that any of the lurkers in the field, the lighter raced maiden winners, are going to be up to Ivorwood's standard. Ivorwood is something special. He's the time form top-rated two-year-old colt already. His form, as it stands, is good enough to win an average renewal of the Richmond Stakes, even under that penalty he's got for the July Stakes. And this is the horse who might well get the smile back on the face of Hannon Hughes, because he's not just an interesting horse and the likely winner of the Richmond Stakes, he's a huge player in the big back-end Group 1s and probably the classics of next year as well.
Okay, so in terms of a danger, we mentioned Jungle Cat. Jungle Cat could be the each-way play in the race, I suppose, because, like you said, boast the best form.
Yeah.
If we're saying that Ivorwood's going to win, there's a lot of people won't want to take the likely price about it. Jungle Cat could be the each way play. Is there anything else that jumps out at you?
Yeah, Jungle Cat, you're right in that there's more than one way to skin a cat, isn't there, in terms of betting. You don't just have to back the likely odds on Ivorwood. There's exactors, there's each way betting, and Jungle Cat makes all sorts of sense for all sorts of reasons. He's been there and done that on the big occasion twice. Second to Ivorwood in the July Stakes, also third in the Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot the time before that, so he knows how to be thereabouts and be bang there in the big juvenile races. And the other point in his favour, he's won at Goodwood, he won his maiden here, and that is obviously a big experience edge over most. The one horse in here who it's hard to get a handle on because we've seen him only once is Moonraker. But this horse was very, very impressive in winning on his debut at Ascot. The second horse, Mubtagar, and the third horse, Winslow, have both won their next races. He's been freshened up and given a break since then. And look at who's on him. Ryan Moore takes the ride aboard Moonraker. He's got the plum draw in one. And there's lots to like about Moonraker. He could be anything. He could be the one potentially to put it to Ivorwood. But at the same time of saying that, Alex, I'd be surprised if Moonraker was in the same league as Ivorwood. Moonraker might well grab third, even second if he improves as we think he can. But still, this does look the archetypal one-horse race.
Yeah, absolutely. Very hard to look past Ivorwood there in the Richmond Stakes. Next up is the feature race of the day. It's the Goodwood Cup, a Group 2 contest over 2 miles. 10 runners down to go to post in this one. We've actually got some betting for this at the time of recording. Estimate is your 2-1 favourite. Brown Panther in at 3s with Cavalryman at 5s, Forgotten Voice at 10-1, Angel Gabriel 12s, and 14s or bigger the rest. We'll start with the Queen's Horse then, Estimate. She hasn't really done a great deal wrong in her career, has she? Ran really, really well in the Ascot Gold Cup. Just couldn't beat Leading Light, but there's no shame in that. At around 2-1, I think is a reasonably fair price here. What do you think?
Yeah, in terms of her profile and what she's achieved, 2-1 is a very fair price. The question is, and it's a big question with Estimate, will she reproduce her Royal Ascot running here? If she does, because that was a mighty run at Royal Ascot after a long absence, then this race is as good as over, I suspect. But there is that question mark for two reasons. Number one is that she put absolutely everything into that Royal Ascot run. It was a hectic finish. It was a grueling race over 2.5 mile. She'd been off a long time before that. At the forefront of my mind, Alex, is that one word, bounce, the bounce theory. The horse who runs really well after an absence, makes a big comeback, and then runs flat on the next appearance. It happens too often to be coincidence, and it happens too often not to be a relevant theory in horse racing. And Estimate herself, she hasn't stood that much racing in her life. Think back to last year after she won the Gold Cup at Royal Ascot. She wasn't seen for a few months, and then when she was seen at Ascot at the back end, she ran very flat there. So with Estimate, the question isn't about ability, it's just about her being 100% for this. It's a bit after the Lord Mayor's Show. The Gold Cup was her one big target for the season. She turned up, she ran the race of her life. But how much will that have taken out of her?
At the same time, there's precious little else coming here fresh, if you like.
Yeah.
Brown Panther, Cavalry Man have had reasonably arduous campaigns, I suppose. Not necessarily in how many times they've run, but just in, you know, the quality of race. And to stay 2 miles is something as well. So what do you see as the main danger to Estimate, and what do you think will get its nose in front?
Yeah, well, Brown Panther has been the one constant on the staying scene this year. He's been out 4 times. He's won his first 2, then he was 4th in Estimate's Gold Cup. He looked a bigger player at one stage turning into the straight. He just didn't quite last out that 2.5 miles. And we talk about the bounce with Estimate. Brown Panther's actually run since then and run well enough when he was 2nd over in France last time out, back in trip. But this is his ideal circumstances. He won the race last year, the Goodwood Cup. It's probably the performance and the career-defining performance of his life when he ran away with this Goodwood Cup. Cavalryman was in the Goodwood Cup that day and finished only 6th when expected to do better. So Brown Panther's got the course form, and you get the impression that he'll definitely run his race. He runs well more often than not. In fact, he gives his all almost every time he comes to the track. So Brown Panther, there's 3 big guns in here in terms of established horses on the cup scene: Cavalryman, Brown Panther and Estimate. Cavalryman comes here on the back of a win, but he hasn't stood that much racing in his life. He's an 8-year-old now, so he certainly won't be getting any better or fresher. And there's a doubt about him reproducing his best. Estimate, for the reasons we've talked about, will she be on a game after that big run at Royal Ascot? Brown Panther, I think, is the most reliable proposition. But those 3 aren't necessarily ahead of the opposition. There are several snapping at his heels. You read out the prices there, Alex. Angel Gabriel, a 12-1, strikes me as a big price because this horse has taken off, hasn't he, since he's been campaigned as a state. Unlucky to finish 2nd in the Chester Cup, shaped like the best horse there. Put that right in the Northumberland Plate. And winning top-end staying handicaps like that isn't too much of a bridge to get into a Group 2 staying race. And I think that his price just underestimates A, the form he's already achieved, and B, the upward curve this horse is on now that he's going up in trip. So in terms of a value play in the race, each way certainly, Angel Gabriel makes all sorts of sense to me, because apart from Brown Panther, in terms of running his race, I'm not sure that Estimate or Cavalryman will turn up at 100%.
Those 2, Estimate and Cavalryman, they're almost all or nothing, aren't they?
Exactly right.
You won't be backing them each way.
And they are, and as you read out the prices, they are fairly short-priced horses for taking that risk-reward against. And therefore, Angel Gabriel, he'll definitely run well, and that might be enough to get him 3rd, might be enough even to get him 2nd, and if the big guns fail to fire, he might just find the in front again.
Okay, so the 5 horse is the pick there?
Yeah, each way though, with the proviso for that, because I'm sure that he'll run well. He might find either too classy, but he'll be bang there.
Okay. Angel Gabriel then in the Goodwood Cup. The final race that we're going to look at is the Lily Langtry Stakes, a filly's Group 3 over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. 10 runners down to go to post in this one. And Miss United is likely to head affairs, ran an absolute cracker in the Gold Cup. But it doesn't win maybe as often as you'd like. He's admirably consistent, but would you be willing to take such a short price about her? Granted, the opposition doesn't look... well, certainly is not in the same league as the Gold Cup. Isn't the strongest renewal of this race, is it, Jamie?
No, it's not. And Miss United's latest run stands out. But for all the reasons you might doubt estimate, the same applies to Miss United. There aren't many horses running this week, Alex, that could have either tackled the Galway Hurdle or a Group 3 at Goodwood. But she's actually won the Galway Hurdle in the past. And obviously, she's a proper, true group class stayer. Now, there are several reasons why her price is too short for my liking and sends us in other directions. Number one is that, look, she's a seven-year-old. She's had loads of racing, and this is something very different for her, certainly compared to Ascot, where she had 2.5 miles, she had a big galloping track, and she also had the run of the race for a large degree of that. They danced to her tune for most of that. She was able to dictate. She certainly won't be able to do that here with several other front runners in opposition. And again, we're back to the estimate point of, she ran the race of her life at Ascot, and this is a big ask to come here again the following month and do it all over. So Miss United is a short price horse I would be very wary of in this race.
Okay. In terms of opposition, then, we've got the likes of Talent, who of course won the Oaks last year, and since then has been running, I suppose, consistently, but that's about it, really.
Yeah.
Has lacked a bit of the spark, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's a bit of the Tuamore of the fillies, isn't she, in that she looked the best of her generation last year, not only winning the Oaks, but finishing second in the St. Ledger. And you look at her two runs this year, and they've definitely been underwhelming, but there have been excuses. Number one, her reappearance in the Coronation Cup. Well, she was up against it with Sirius de Zegler in court, and that on her first start back. Easy to excuse that. And then last time in the Lancashire Oaks at Haydock, she finished third. It was definitely a step back in the right direction, and her style just wasn't suited to that race. The leaders didn't come back at all, and she probably did well to finish as close as third. Now, for all the reasons why Talent couldn't show herself in terms of her true potential at Haydock last time, everything's in place for her here. Going up in trip again with loads of pace on. Miss United's got one way of running. Nymphia, the German raider, and Baroness Daniela, the French raider, they likewise like to get on with things. There's going to be a strong pace on here that's really going to suit Talent. And look who's aboard her. Richard Hughes is on her for the first time since the Oaks. In the meantime, Jim Crowley has ridden Talent again. He's on Miss United. There's a case of the jockey merry-go-round, but it's no bad thing that Hughesy's back aboard Talent. And, yeah, we talk about several in this race. We've already mentioned a few. None of the other fillies in the lineup could have won an Oaks or finished second in the St. Ledger. She's got a classy background for going dipping down to a Group 3. If I'd have said to you, Alex, after she finished second in the Ledger and won the Oaks, that she'd be turning up in a Group 3 at Goodwood over a mile, 3/4, and probably not even be favourite.
Would be available at the back at a bit of a maggot each way price as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at the Weiler as well for Sir Michael Stout is a horse that I really find it hard to like.
Yeah.
Because she just doesn't seem to want to particularly win, and lost at York last time when it was there for the winning. Continuum beat her that day, and Continuum's a horse that I've actually followed.
Yeah.
Used to be trained by Cecil and has moved to Paul Hedger, but if you're beaten, with all due respect, if you're beaten by a Paul Hedger horse, you're then not going to go on to defeat the likes of Talent with the form that she's shown, surely.
Exactly right. This is a big jump for Wylia, and she's fluffed her lines in the face of lesser races than this. Last time out at York, as you said, she was favourite again. She always seems to be favourite, Wylia. It's clear that expectations are not matching what she's achieving on the track. She won't be favourite here because look at the standard of race she's in. It was only a handicap at York. It was, what, the third time in three runs she's been beaten this year. This is a jump up in class for her. And as you said, at the end of the day, has she got the talent of talent? Absolutely not.
Well put. okay, so a selection in this?
Yeah, be careful of Stella Bellissima down the bottom. Once raced, did everything wrong at Salisbury and still managed to win. And John Gosden has got an exceptional record. He knows what he's got. If he's pitching this horse into a Group 3 for only the second start of her life, then she could well be up to the task, because Stella Bellissima was hugely impressive considering everything that went wrong at Newbury on her debut, and also look at her pedigree. She's another See the Stars. She's from a top-class family, and look at the stable. But we might be overcomplicating matters here. We've got a classic horse in the shape of Talent who gets our ideal circumstances for the first time this year, who's got Richard Hughes aboard for the first time since the Oaks, who's going to have the race run to suit and the stamina tests that really shows her in the best light. So Talent, what did you call it, the each way value?
A maggoty each way.
Mm. I like the sound of that a lot. I, for one, will be donning my fisherman's waders and finding those maggots to have a few each way on that.
Lovely stuff. If you could just spin us through then your four picks for Thursday afternoon at Glorious Goodwood, please, Jamie.
Yeah, the four picks are in the 205, number 7, Astro Nereus, to take down Rosberg. In the second race, which is the Richmond? Yeah, no seeing past Ivorwood in that. In the Goodwood Cup, I think the each way pick and the sensible pick is Angel Gabriel, a horse who's theoretically going up in class, but actually is on an upward curve and isn't that far behind the marker principles on form. And then finally, I think this might be the best bet of the day, Alex. It might be a case of just breaking racing down and analysis to the simplest format. We've got a horse who's won a classic, who's down in a Group 3, who's got ideal circumstances. I really like the look of Talent in that Lily Langtree at 3:45.
Okay, great stuff, Jamie. Lovely talking to you. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy all of Thursday's action at Goodwood. And let's hope that Talent can get the job done.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.